And good morning. Welcome. We are live at the Ron Scott Communications Center. This is From the Stand. As the gentleman said, I'm your host, Steve Buss, and we'd like to thank our sponsor, the Commemorative Air Force, for supporting this hour of programming. The mission of the CAF is education, such that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. You can visit the CAF tent at the southeast corner of the Boeing Centennial Plaza, or visit them on the web at commemorativeairforce.org. This morning, we have a great lineup for you. Mr. RV himself, Dick Van Grunsven, will be here to talk about the 30th anniversary of the RV-6. We'll also find out what's new with the EAA Air Venture Museum. But first, we're going to find out globally what's new with EAA, with EAA's chairman and CEO, Jack Pelton. Thank you for joining us this morning, Jack.
Great. Steve, it's great to be with you again.
It's wonderful to be back. We were just talking off air about the history of the event here, and also the history of EAA. Advocacy has been a huge part of the Experimental Aircraft Association since our founder, Paul, started the organization in 1953, and he really set the standard by working with the FAA, using friendly coercion to help them see the light, as it were, rather than forceful. But that has finally paid off, and paid off in a big way with third-class medical.
Yeah, we're very, very excited to, at this Air Venture, be able to announce that there's actually been some third-class medical reform, that it's officially passed and signed by the president. What we're saying to our members is we did it in the fashion Paul did it, and at the end of the day, EAA gets it done. I mean, that's what your membership is all about. And the folks in our advocacy group worked for 10 years on trying to push this across the finish line. It has a huge benefit for general aviation. You know, we recognize it wasn't what we originally asked for. It's not a driver's license medical as we had asked, but it certainly is going to help reduce some of the costs and barriers for aviators, both now and then into the future. So very, very excited, and my hat's off to our whole advocacy team for what they've done.
Now, you mentioned it's been a 10-year process. I mean, that goes back with the original Sport Pilot and all the other legislation that's kind of taken place since then. But why did it take so long?
Well, you know, we worked through trying to get through facts and data to get the FAA to come up with a regulatory change. And they got to a point where internally they said, we're going to release a notice of proposed rulemaking. And the process of that is they define what the rule will look like. Then it goes to the Department of Transportation for a review. The FAA came up with a rule that was very similar to what we ended up with. But when it went to the Department of Transportation, it absolutely stalled. That process alone was 3 of those 10 years. So we've heard the administrator when he's come to Air Venture saying, here's where we are on the road, and we're supportive, but it went nowhere. So we got frustrated with the fact it died and went out to Congress, and with really the push was from Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma. He created Pilot's Bill of Rights 2, got it passed in the Senate 3 separate times, and in that Pilot's Bill of Rights 2 was this medical reform language. The House did not vote on Pilot's Bill of Rights 2, but pulled the language for the medical out and attached it to the extended funding of the FAA, which was then passed a few weeks ago and became law. So we are so excited and so thrilled that got done.
So last year at this time, we were talking about the Pilot Bill of Rights 2 with Senator Inhofe, the fact that it had gone through the Senate, the House held on to it, hoping that it might kick loose last year. Didn't do it, and it's amazing that they were able to pull that out and bring it into the FAA reauthorization.
And, you know, at the same time, we also had the FAA reauthorization bill that was in play, both in the Senate and the House, that had this language in it, which never got accomplished. And that the fact they were willing to pull it out and tie it to just a funding extension, which is the extension goes through September of next year, but this language becomes law forever. So we got that part done, and we'll got a lot more to work on.
Good. What are the details of the medical reform?
The medical reform essentially says that for in the last 10 years, you have to have had a valid third class medical. And if you are going to take up flying, you have to at least get at what we call one touch. So you have to go to an AME and get a third class medical. From that point on, you're really managing your health through your private physician. And you can get an annual physicals and document the physicals. Actually, you only have to have one every 4 years. And then every 2 years, take a online educational course that's just says basically you did it. But none of this information from your personal physician or from this online gets submitted to the FAA. So the FAA is completely out of the record keeping and issues of looking at your health.
Now, for the FAA, does that should reduce some of their paperwork burden with special issuances and things of that matter?
Well, we're not sure exactly.
Okay.
Because, you know, the Class 2 and Class 1 is where they're real activity, high activity level is. But what's most important is you're going to manage your health and determine your physical condition based with your personal physician and not on a pass-fail through an AME. So we're hoping it encourages people to take better care of themselves in the long run. And statistically, the third-class medical has never had any safety issues from medical incapacitation. So while the facts and data showed we really don't need a third class, we didn't get that full what we asked for, but we made some strong inroads, and we'll continue to push it down the road.
So with the third class reform, are there any other details that go into that besides?
There are details as to what category and class and performance levels of airplanes. It is good for VFR and IFR flying. It is good for airplanes up to 6,000 pounds gross weight, up to 250 knots, five passengers, I believe, was what the final ruling is for four or five. So it's a pretty broad range of airplanes that you can take advantage of this.
Excellent. And this is such a refreshing change to come to the event. And, you know, in past years, we've signed petitions to, repeal landing fees and user fees and things like that, to actually come here and have something to celebrate, something tangible, and really a huge step forward for EIA and a long, long road of work behind you.
Steve, 3 weeks prior to the event, we were looking at our collection of buttons, and there was an assortment of everything from SAFE to various acronyms that we had in the petitions. And this year we quickly got EA gets it done. And so that's a great celebration.
And I've seen those buttons everywhere. It is true. EIA does get it done. What other advocacy issues are kind of on the forefront?
Well, we're still working the concern we have over the tower fees. Mm-hmm. So that's another legislative issue that we're still paying for this event, a separate fee to the FAA for their manning our tower. And as we all know, we already pay for the FAA manning of our tower through our fuel taxes. And so this is a double taxation. We are going to continue to fight this one to get those fees removed in the years going forward. But unfortunately, without a reauthorization bill, we didn't have anything to put it on. But we're still working that. We're still working the replacement fuel for 100 low lead, which in 2018 is the mandate to come up with a possible proposed solution. We're very actively on that committee. Probably the other significant advocacy is what we did with this new STC that we announced during Sun and Fun, which was the STC that allowed a Part 23 certified airplane to put in, using a commercial parts list, the Dynon D10 attitude indicator. We're announcing this week that we're expanding that STC to include the Dynon D100, which is even a larger display. And we're also announcing that we're opening up even more models and makes of aircraft that this will be applicable to. So the Cessna 177, the 182, I believe it's a Saratoga on there. So we're doing a lot in continuing to push for the regulatory environment for affordable safety enhancements. And we're looking at autopilots. We're looking at a lot of things to help our members keep them flying.
That's right. It's amazing how technology is helping.
Oh, it is. It is. And, it's higher tech, lower cost. And we keep saying that's something that we need to be in the forefront of.
Speaking of technology, SolidWorks, something that you had been talking about, a CAD design program for EIA members?
This morning we had a press release and press conference on a new member benefit. So for all of you who are dues-paying EIA members, we have a new benefit you have, which is getting access free of charge to SolidWorks, which if you go on our website, eaa.org/SolidWorks, you can get all of the information. But essentially it's a computer-aided design package that companies like Cirrus and Zenith and Sonix all use to design their airplanes. We now, as members, can have access to that package to do not only designing airplane parts and pieces, but you can do furniture, you can do anything. I think one of the great things that this is important is we're in this new maker movement. 3D printing is getting to be the norm, and you will be able to use this design package to design stuff and then send it to one of these devices that can make those parts for you seamlessly, easy. One of the companies that's a world's leader in design computer packages. So we're very excited. That's just one more thing for our members to get value out of their membership.
Excellent. And also, congratulations. AirVenture has been voted the number one air show in the country.
Yeah, that news just happened last week. USA Today voted us as the number one air show in the nation. And got to be careful that we're still trying to remain humble, but we say rightfully so. I think if you look around today and see the number of people that are here, the airplanes, the camping, the atmosphere, We won for the number one air show, but we probably would win for the number one overall experience of how much fun and what a family this is.
Exactly. I was trying to describe to some coworkers who have never been here before, but were coming up this weekend for the first time, exactly what this event was. And I realized that I was running out of words before I got anywhere close to describing what this is.
My wife, when she's talking to friends about it, she says, I'll try. But then we have a very nice video, about a 15-minute video, that she'll send them the link and say, I can't describe it. Go look at this, because there's just too many sensory overload issues of planes and sounds and camping, and you know, it's all there.
It's amazing. Speaking of airplanes, we're full?
We are full. Trying to find ways to make room for more, which is a very fast start to the weekend.
It's excellent, even with the weather that we had the last couple of days, with the kind of storms and clouds, but still, we're
but as Paul always takes care of the weather, and as you look today, starting Monday, it's 73 degrees at 8 in the morning, sunshine, no clouds, and it's going to be a beautiful week.
Speaking of the week, we are going to talk more about what's going to take place this week at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh 2016 with CEO and Chairman Jack Pelton. And we'll be back with more From the Stand here on EAA Radio.